Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we're going to be looking at the following flaming hot topic: spirit-free, non-regulated, out-of-control church services. Is that a good thing? As many modern churches claim today. Spirit-free, non-regulated, out-of-control worship services, where the Holy Spirit supposedly takes over. People have no control. They just simply follow the leadings of the Spirit, they claim. And there's all kinds of chaos during the church services. Again, I'll ask, is that biblical? Is that okay? Well, unfortunately, a lot of modern churches today say, yeah, it is okay. And they even say it's biblical. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the Scriptures and let's see if that really is biblical. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Today, our main text is going to be verses 23 through 40. By God's grace, we're hopefully going to finish 1 Corinthians 14 today. If you've been with us in our recent studies, we have been taking a look at this topic of spiritual gifts. Our main anchor scripture that we've been using is 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. We obviously have taken a look at a lot of other texts throughout scripture, interpreting scripture with other scripture, as we've tried to understand this most important topic about spiritual gifts. Well, today, by God's grace, we're going to be bringing this topic to an end. Again, our main text, chapter 14, starting in verse 23 all the way down to verse 40. And I think that as we study this text today, we're going to be able to see very clearly that supposed spirit-free, non-regulated, out-of-control church services, we're going to see that the Apostle Paul and the power of the Holy Spirit was absolutely rebuking that. In fact, if you just want to underline verse 33, Paul says in the middle of our text for today, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." Hop over to verse 20, the end of our text for today. "But all things," Paul said, "must be done how? Properly and in an orderly manner." Are you starting to get the feel of what Paul is going to be saying in our text for today? Again, we have been studying how the church there in Corinth, well, a lot of the believers in that church were very confused about this idea of spiritual gifts. In fact, some in that church were abusing and misusing what they claimed to be spiritual gifts they had, in particular, the gift of tongues. Again, we see the same type of thing happening today. There were some in that church who had brought in pagan, ecstatic gibberish. And they claimed that, well, they had the gift of tongues. That was the gift of tongues, they said. Well, it wasn't, because that was nonsensical, ecstatic gibberish that came from the pagans, not the Holy Spirit. There were others in the church who had the real gift of tongues back then, which was still in operation back then. The real gift of tongues, which we saw the apostles had, a person had the ability given by the Holy Spirit to speak clear, intelligible foreign language, a language that person had never studied in advance or practiced in advance. But that person had the ability given by the Holy Spirit to speak clearly a foreign language that others could understand. That was the real gift of tongues back then, not the nonsensical gibberish, bata, bata, bata. That came from the pagans. And so as Paul brings this chapter to a close, he is going to address the very topic that's our hot topic for today. Is it okay to have disorder, chaos, during the church services? Is it okay to call this chaos something that the Holy Spirit is bringing about? Is it okay to call non-regulated, out-of-control worship services? Is it okay to call those services spirit-free, spirit-led? No. And we see in chapter 14, starting in verse 23, Paul is rebuking that. He says, therefore, if the whole church assembles together, when does the whole church assemble together? On the Lord's Day. So we understand the context here. He's talking about Lord's Day church service, when the whole body assembles together. Paul says, if the whole church assembles together and all speak in tongues, tongues here in the plural, referring to the genuine gift, which again was still in operation back then, the ability to speak clear, intelligible foreign languages. Paul said, when the church gathers together on the Lord's Day, and if everybody who had the gift at the same time started to exercise that gift during the service, Paul said, and an ungifted person comes in, an unlearned, unchurched person, an unbeliever enters, they not say that you're mad? That you're raving lunatics? Well, yeah. Because there's nothing but a cacophony of chaos going on, even if it was the real gift of tongues back then being used. Paul said, if everybody's speaking in tongues at the same time, and an unlearned, unchurched person comes in, non-believer, they're going to think you're nuts, right? Will they not say that you're mad? End of verse 23. Paul says, but if all prophesy, not at the same time, but if people are teaching the word of God in an orderly fashion, before the service, during the service, after the service, and an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, well, now the Holy Spirit's going to work through the word that he inspired. And this person is convicted, or these non-believers are convicted, because the Holy Spirit's working through the word to convict non-believers. And he's called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. Do you see the difference here? Scenario number one. Non-believers walk in, and they see everybody speaking in tongues. No order, no regulation, just a free-for-all. What is going to be their response? These people are raving lunatics. They're madmen. But if these non-believers, scenario number two, walk in, and they see God's word permeating throughout the church, before, during, and after the service, where things are being done in an orderly fashion, that unbeliever, if the Holy Spirit so chooses to convict him, will fall on his face and declare, God is certainly among you. He will worship God because he's now born again. Do you see the difference here? And we know that the context makes it clear that Paul was rebuking this free-for-all type mentality during the church services. Verse 26, he says, what is the outcome then, brother? When you assemble, again, coming together on the Lord's Day, each one, each person, at the same time, has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Everybody at the same time is exercising his or her gift during the church service. Paul says, no, let all things be done for edification. Do you see it? Again, somebody in the church stands up and starts reading a psalm, then starts singing the psalm. Somebody else is using the gift of tongues. You have a person interpreting it. You have somebody else standing up and reading the word. This is all happening at one time. Paul goes, stop. Let all things during the church service be done for what? Edification. A cacophony of chaos doesn't edify anyone, right? And that's why verses 27 and 28, Paul gives the regulation for the gift of tongues. Used during the church service. No free-for-all. No out-of-control frenzy. Emotional frenzy. Here in verses 27 and 28, he goes, let me give you regulation number one regarding tongues. If anyone speaks in a tongue, here in the context, it's clear he's referring to the genuine gift, even though it's in the singular. And we know that because Paul would not give regulations for gibberish, right? He's giving regulations for the real gift back then. If anyone speaks in a tongue, here's the regulation. It should be by two or at most three, and each in turn. Think about what's happening in many modern supposed tongue-speaking churches today. First of all, they don't have the real gift of tongue. They're just speaking in nonsensical gibberish. But even if they had the real gift, do you see this regulation being followed? Two or three at the most during a church service, and each in turn. And one must interpret. There needs to be an interpreter who interprets one at a time. Verse 28, if there's no interpreter, guess what? The person who has the real gift of tongues must keep silent in the church. And let him speak to himself and to God. Let him meditate on God and pray to God. Do you see the regulation back then? This idea of spirit-free, non-regulated, out-of-control worship services? No. Because again, hop down to verse 33. God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. Hop over to verse 40. All things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. The real gift of tongues back then, it was regulated. And so, Church of Corinth, many, many Greek-speaking people. If a Greek believer during the church service saw a Jewish non-believer come into the service, and this Greek believer suddenly had the ability to speak fluent Hebrew, which he had never practiced or learned in advance, but he had the real gift of tongues, and he could speak fluent Hebrew to this non-believing Jewish person. This Greek believer was not allowed to exercise his gift of tongues unless there was an interpreter present. Why? Even though this non-believing Jew could understand Hebrew, in all likelihood there in the church in Corinth, not everybody in the congregation could. But all things needed to be done for edification, right? So that while this Greek believer, who had the gift of tongues, was starting to speak fluent Hebrew to this non-believing Jew, speaking to him about the wonders of God, this non-believing Jew would have been in awe. Like, how does this Greek know Hebrew like he does? He's speaking to me in my language about God. The non-believing Jew was going to be in awe. But what about the rest of the congregation? How are they being edified? You had to have an interpreter. This interpreter, who also had the gift from the Holy Spirit to be able to interpret, Suddenly he understands Hebrew and he's able now to interpret for the congregation who didn't understand Hebrew the things about God. And you had this Jewish non-believer being able to verify to the congregation, yeah, this is exactly what this guy said. Do you see it? But if there was no interpreter, the person who had the gift of tongues had to keep silent. That was regulation number one for the church service when it came to tongues. Regulation number two, the gift of prophecy, verses 29 through 32. Look at the regulation. Let two or three prophets speak. Let the other prophets pass judgment, be discerning, is this truly from God? Verse 30, if a revelation is made to another prophet who's seated, the first one who's in all likelihood standing behind the pulpit declaring God's truth, well, he must be silent. And this other prophet who in all likelihood received new revelation from God, which was still in operation back then because the canon of Scripture was not closed, the person who received new revelation had priority to stand up and give that new revelation. Again, scenario, you have a prophet standing behind the pulpit. He's declaring already given revelation from God, the Word of God. And suddenly there's a prophet sitting in the congregation and he receives new revelation from God. He had the priority to stand up and get behind the pulpit and to deliver the new revelation, while the other prophet who was just speaking already given revelation had to stand aside and be silent. Do you see the regulation? Again, verse 31, regarding prophecy, you can all prophesy. How? One by one. Do you see the regulation? So that all people in the congregation may learn, understand, and be exhorted. And the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. In other words, even the true prophets, they couldn't be out of control. They needed to be under Holy Spirit control. Why? Again, verse 31, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Hop over to verse 40. All things must be done how? Properly and in an orderly manner. Are you starting to get the idea that supposed spirit-free, non-regulated, out-of-control worship services? You starting to get the idea that those are not biblical? Again, Paul was rebuking chaos in that church in Corinth. And after rebuking the chaos, he said, let me give you the regulations. These regulations came from God. Regulation regarding tongues, orderly, peacefully, properly. Regulation concerning prophecy. Again, back then, you had new revelation being given, still being given. You also had already given revelation, the Word of God being given. Things had to be done orderly, properly, with dignity, no chaos. And then Paul gives regulation number three regarding women. Second part of verse 33, he says, as in all the churches of the saints, the women are to keep silent in churches. Was Paul picking on women here? No. He said the same thing about a person who had the gift of tongues. If there was not an interpreter, keep silent. He said the same thing about the prophet standing up and delivering already given revelation. If another prophet received new revelation, that other prophet needed to keep silent. Let the prophet have the priority who just received new revelation, right? Same thing when it came to women in the church. He's not picking on women here, but he is giving regulation regarding women in the church. They're to keep silent. They're not permitted to speak, i.e. preach or interrupt the church services. But they are to subject themselves just as the law also says. What if they have questions about what's being preached? Verse 35. They desire to learn anything? Let them ask their own husbands at home. Which says, by the way, husbands, you better know your stuff. Right? Because it is improper, ice cross, disgusting in the Greek, for a woman to speak in church, preach, interrupt. Paul says, was it from you, ladies, that the word of God first went forth? You see his sarcasm? No, the word of God didn't come forth from delays. It came forth from God. Or has it only come to you only? In other words, are you getting some sort of revelation that Paul wasn't getting? No. Paul says in verse 37, if anyone thinks he's a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you, these regulations about in church service, this idea of going, writing against chaos, Paul says, if anybody thinks they're spiritual, spiritually minded, let them recognize that the things which I'm writing on this topic are the Lord's command. This wasn't Paul's opinion. This was from the Lord of the church. If anyone doesn't recognize this, Paul says, he's not to be recognized. Was Paul promoting chaos during the church services? Absolutely not. He was rebuking it, and he was regulating it regarding tongues, prophecy, and women. And Paul said, if anybody's spiritually minded, then he's going to be able to recognize that what I'm saying on this is from the Lord. It's his command. Not Paul's opinion. Not Paul being, in the case with women, a male chauvinist. Not Paul trying to kill the buzz during the church services. No. Paul said, verse 39 and 40, therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Do not forbid speaking in tongues, which was still in operation back then. But all things must be done how? Properly and in an orderly manner. Do you understand what Paul was saying here? God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And during the Lord's Day services, all things must be done orderly and properly. There should be no out of control, supposed spirit-led, spirit-free, unregulated chaos. That is not from God. And how do we know that? Because the regulations Paul gave here, he made very clear in verse 37 at the end. These are the Lord's commands. And to allow unregulated, chaotic, out-of-control activities to happen during the Lord's Day service, and to give credit to God the Holy Spirit for that? Guys, God's not a God of confusion. The Holy Spirit did not inspire these words, and then today allows people to go against those words and actually leads them against those words. Come on. That's blasphemy. All things need to be done for edification. Chaos doesn't edify. Out of control, emotional frenzy, ecstatic, nonsensical gibberish. Nobody is edified by that. And God certainly is not glorified by that. And again, it's very clear in our text what the context was. Paul was rebuking chaos, not promoting it, not endorsing it. That's why he gave clear regulations again, which he says very clearly are the Lord's commands, right? And as we bring this chapter to a close, again, we know the purpose of spiritual gifts, right? We've seen that in chapters 12, 13, and 14. Purpose of spiritual gifts? To edify the body, and thus to bring glory to the head of the church, Christ, right? And just stay in chapter 14. How many times does Paul say that? Chapter 14, Paul says, end of verse 5, so that the church may receive what? Edifying. Hop over to the end of verse 12. Seek to abound for what? The edification of the church. Our text from today. End of verse 26. Let all things be done for what? Edification. Why? Our text for today, verse 33, part A. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And the end of our text for today, verse 40, let all things, they must be done properly and in an orderly manner. Think about the church you're attending. What is happening during the Lord's Day worship services? Are things being done in a properly, orderly manner? Is the church being edified? Is God being glorified? Or do you have chaos? Non-regulated, out of control confusion. Ecstatic, nonsensical gibberish. People getting up and claiming they heard from God this and heard from God that. Do you have people rolling around, running around during the church service? Do you have people barking like dogs and screaming like hyenas? If so, that church is clearly going against the Lord's commands. You don't want to be in a so-called church like that. You want to be in a church that reflects the character of our God. He's not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. He's a God of order. That's the church you want to be part of, my friend. You want to be part of a church where the body is being edified, where Christ is being glorified. And when non-believers walk in, and if the Holy Spirit so chooses to work through the word being declared, that non-believer or those non-believers will fall on their face and worship God and say, God is truly among you. You don't want to be part of a church where non-believers come in and look around and see the chaos and say, these people are a bunch of raving madmen. Think about the church you want to be part of. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.